The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, Chag Yerushalayim Sameach. Of course, it's Yom Yerushalayim today. We'll talk a little bit about that. But unfortunately, against the backdrop of not such good things, violence and unfortunately a lot of issues that are being having to be dealt with in Jerusalem today on Yom Yerushalayim.
Yeah, so let's start off there, because what should be an amazing and positive day actually is quite tense. The violence has continued across Israel, particularly in Jerusalem, and now along the Gaza border as well. So what are the latest incidents?
So it's been a weekend of tension. The clashes that began around the area of the Damascus Gate already over the past few weeks during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan have continued and have escalated. On Saturday night was the night of Al-Qadr. 80,000 Muslims were descending upon Jerusalem. This is a very significant day in the Muslim calendar, the Day of Reckoning. And it is traditional that Muslims gather in large numbers on the Temple Mount at the Al-Aqsa in order to mark this occasion. The police decided late on Saturday to close off all roads to Jerusalem. Buses, cars, vehicles were left stranded as the roads were closed off. All roads leading to Jerusalem were closed off in order to try to head off what was considered to be a very dangerous escalating situation. Many people simply got out of their buses, got out of the cars. There were tens, dozens of buses that were transporting Muslim worshippers from the north of Israel, from all parts of Israel towards Jerusalem. The buses were stopped along the road. Many of the people got off and began walking by foot towards Jerusalem, where the police would not allow the vehicles to continue. There was traffic chaos across the roads of Israel as the police closed these paths towards Jerusalem off. Unfortunately, a lot of violence in Jerusalem itself on Saturday evening, continuing the violence that we've seen in recent weeks. Fortunately, despite the violence and despite the fact that there were some dozens of people reported injured, including police who were injured by rock throwers, by people throwing Molotov cocktails, all kinds of weapons in use. Fortunately, we didn't have any major casualties. And then, of course, we also had to deal with rocket fire from Gaza towards Israel. Indeed, last night, a number of missiles that were fired towards Ashkelon, which is considered to be really an escalation in the situation. A lot of those incendiary balloons that we haven't spoken about for some time are being sent over the Gaza border yesterday, fires breaking out all around the Gaza area on the Israeli side of the border. So a massive escalation in the situation. And of course, today in Jerusalem, there's a lot of focus and a lot of tension around the city as people wish to do what they usually do on Yom Yerushalayim, which is go onto the Temple Mount in many cases. There's a flag parade that's normally held in Jerusalem for Yom Yerushalayim. Those are now under consideration. The latest report is that the police chief has decided to close off entry to the Temple Mount for Jewish people, who visitors who wish to go onto the Temple Mount. There was an initial announcement, a previous announcement, that Jewish visitors would be allowed onto the Temple Mount, but not to pray, just simply to visit for Yom Yerushalayim. That now seems to be unlikely. The latest report is that Jewish visitors will not be allowed onto the Temple Mount in order to try to head off any clashes and to head off any potential threats of violence and casualties. And so there is even some question as to whether the traditional Jerusalem flag march will continue today. We're not sure yet, but as things stand at the moment, tension across the entire city and indeed across Israel.
Very, very scary, and of course deeply ironic as well, that on Yom Yerushalayim, the day of that celebrates the reunification of Jerusalem, that Jews are not allowed onto the Temple Mount. We certainly won't see that in Western and mainstream media, will we?
I doubt that we will. I mean, what we are likely to see is, of course, the United Nations Security Council, which has called a meeting to discuss the violence in Jerusalem, to discuss the clashes. There's been a lot of criticism of Israel about some of the actions in Jerusalem. We understand that the Biden administration will not allow any resolution to be passed that will be critical of Israel, and that the United States does intend to exercise its veto if required against any United Nations Security Council resolution. But of course, one of the matters that has been very controversial and has attracted a lot of criticism towards Israel is this whole issue of Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood, a neighborhood in Jerusalem where some Jews have tried to take properties that were apparently owned by their families, by Jewish owners before 1948. And then in 1970, a law was passed allowing Israeli Jews to reclaim property that was in East Jerusalem, and in particular in that Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood that was held by Jews before the 1948 war. During 1948, those properties were actually captured by Jordan, and families, Muslim families, Arab families, lived there between 1948 and 1967, when, of course, Israel recaptured the east side of Jerusalem. So those events are now really coming to bear when Jews are really trying to exercise their right to return back to the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. And in fact, there was due to be a High Court of Justice decision handed down today about the legitimacy of the claims of those Jews who wish to return to take those properties up in Sheikh Jarrah. The Attorney General has convinced the High Court not to make that judgment today, but indeed to delay that judgment for another day, probably tomorrow or the next day. But the point is that this is a highly controversial decision that will be handed down by the High Court, whichever way the High Court decides. But the High Court has become involved in this, and we do have a judicial system, and the justices will then decide as to whether the Jews have the right to take up occupancy, to own those properties and to take occupancy in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. But, you know, unfortunately, in spite of the reunification of the city of Jerusalem 54 years ago, there is a lot that still divides the city. And that's one of the issues that's really very difficult for us to somehow get our arms around in order to show unification in the city of Jerusalem. Unfortunately, we have a lot of division.
Yeah, it's really just absolutely, absolutely awful. And what I found so strange is that we had DIRCO here, the Department of International Relations, putting out a series of tweets condemning Israel, of course, as they like to do yesterday, but completely ignoring the fact that, that nearly, or almost 60 young schoolgirls in Afghanistan were killed in what looks like an attack by the Taliban on a Saturday, and absolute silence in this regard. Thankfully, not one soul. There are people injured in Jerusalem, but not one soul has lost their life. But 60 young schoolgirls murdered, and there is just complete silence from the United Nations, from places like DIRCO. It is really just it's just astounding to see what is going on.
I think it's important for us to continue to show that there is just a lack of equality, a lack of equality in the way that Israel is treated versus what goes on elsewhere around the world. And we just make this comment over and over again, the accusations of racism, the accusations of apartheid. You know, we had those discussions. I've had my say on that. I think that to expect people to treat Israel in the way that other countries around the world get treated has fallen on deaf ears. And even though it is important to make those statements, I think that I'm certainly personally past the moment where I say, well, it's just unfair and we need to be treated like everybody else. I'm past all of that now because I know that that's unlikely to happen. So instead, my view is just to simply assert our right to what we're entitled to do, whether people wish to compare us to other parts of the world or not, whether people wish to condemn what really ought to be condemned in other parts of the world or not, is something that unfortunately we have little control of anymore. And my view is that we just need to say, look, this is our point of view. This is the path that we're going to tread. We are easily able to defend the path that we're taking. Let's talk about why it is like this. Let's talk about the history. Let's show where we're coming from, but let's not be held up to the same standards that we know that we're not being held up to the same standards as is the case elsewhere around the world. And continuing to just say, well, you know, life isn't fair, is really not being helpful right now. So, you know, we just need to perhaps take a slightly different view while not forgetting that others are being treated in a completely different way from the way that we're being treated.
Yeah, it was so interesting because there was so much going on Twitter yesterday, and I kept, my hand was hovering over it. There was one South African activist and somebody who I've never seen comment in Israel before, somebody like Black Coffee, who has played in Israel and had criticism from South Africa, said, put a comment on Facebook wishing all mothers a happy Mother's Day, and this guy tweeted, yes, as long as you're not Palestinian. And everyone's saying, yeah, exactly, yeah, you go, you tell him. And I thought, wow, it's just an incredible thing to see everything, including Mother's Day, only through one prism and one lens. It is, and then I thought to myself, well, if you are going to choose to see something through one prism and one lens, shouldn't you be educated about it? And I debated with myself, should I get involved? And it wasn't a particularly easy day yesterday for me. We had Yahrzeit for my mom, and it was Mother's Day, so it was just everything. And I thought, I'm just not equipped to actually get into this battle yesterday. But it really bothered me.
Well, I think the question that we need to ask ourselves is, does it say something about us, or does it say something about them? You know, let's just think about that for a moment, because you know, we find it very difficult to influence the way that other people behave. And if we're not going to change their behavior, then the only thing that we can really do is adjust our own behavior. And today on Yom Yerushalayim, 54 years have passed since that very, very important day in Jewish history. The famous words from Mota Gur as he led the paratroopers into the old city, Har Habayit B'yadeinu. The Temple Mount is in our hands. And, you know, let's just go over what went on in those events. 1948, Israel said, look, we're going to take whatever we can get. Land was, an offer was made by the United Nations. It was rejected. Israel said, yes, we'll take it. And then the war broke out. And what ultimately transpired is that Israel grabbed hold of whatever the Jews grabbed hold of whatever they were able to get following the war of 1948. And that was less than what was offered in the Palestine partition plan. And the most significant piece that was less was the fact that Jews did not have access to many parts of Jerusalem. That was envisaged in the Palestine partition plan, that it would be a shared city, that everybody would have access to it. The reality in 1948, between 1948 and 1967, is that Jews did not have access not only to the east side of Jerusalem, but indeed to the holiest site in Judaism, which of course is the Temple Mount. And so when 1967 came, 19 short years after all of that, and there was this unbelievable military victory, and there was this unbelievable assertion of Israel's authority saying, we are not going to live in a situation where we simply can't have access to our holiest site, and we're just literally within spitting distance of that site. 1967 signaled not only our own military strength, but also a massive change in the way in which the world and Jews could regard Israel. I think that really made a massive difference to the way in which Israel was regarded. Of course, the complacency then that set in leading to 1973, to that moment when Israel was almost destroyed. I would suggest that 1973, the Yom Kippur War, was the closest moment to Israel being destroyed.
Absolutely.
Since 1948. Yeah. But very, very fascinating. And, you know, I would suggest that today's a day for us to celebrate despite the difficulties that we're experiencing. Absolutely. And I hope that people around the world will join us in doing that.
I hope so too. It is 8:01. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. And we'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.